Let's start on Medicaid, because we've been told people are going to lose their health care. People are going to die. I mean, it was the mother of all scare tactics that came from the Democrats. I heard you say there are no cuts to Medicaid. So how do we reconcile those two?
Well, you know, the thing, and first of all, thank you for having me on, because I do appreciate the opportunity to talk about this issue, because there is so much misinformation and might I say, fear-mongering out there about particularly this portion of the bill. And I think you mentioned it. There is so much good about this bill that we can get into later. But, you know, really the focus on the Medicaid changes were, and I will say this, we're really getting at waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, we want to strengthen the program to make sure that those people that need it are getting it. And that's what's going to happen. The people that are out there, you know, they're talking about all of these people that are going to lose their Medicaid. We are not talking about the disabled, the elderly, the children. We are talking about those who are not qualified to be on it, shouldn't be on it. You know, you just take the one example, 1.6 million people. Are improperly enrolled. They may be in dual states. They may be, so they're improperly enrolled.
Okay, wait a minute.
Medicaid.
So when Hakeem Jeffries and every Democrat, AOC, and all these crazies that are in Congress on the left, when they say people are going to lose their Medicaid, they're probably including the 1.6 million that violate the rules of Medicaid and aren't even supposed to be on Medicaid then. Would that be fair?
Exactly, Scott. Exactly. We are talking about people who are not qualified in the first place and who shouldn't be on it, who have been, you know, they haven't been checked. They haven't, you know, they are enrolled simultaneously in various states. And so, yes, absolutely. There will be people who will not have Medicaid, but they were never qualified to have Medicaid. So it's unfair what the Democrats are saying, and just, you know, they are just using it to, you know, to fearmonger people and make people think the sky is falling and not really looking at what we're doing. Because if we strengthen this program and we save those dollars, we can do a better job for those people who should be on Medicaid, that are on Medicaid, that need Medicaid.
Absolutely. And beyond the people that are breaking the law, for lack of a better term, and on there that shouldn't be on there, who else, if anybody, loses Medicaid?
You know, and I will say this again, the people that need it will have it. We also have put, we've put in a work requirement. So those able-bodied adults will have a work requirement. And work requirement is a little, you know, it's very broad. It can be work. It can be education. It can be volunteer work. So I don't think we're asking much of an able-bodied adult without dependents to be doing some kind of work, doing some kind of productive thing, whether it be volunteer, education, or work, to qualify for these programs.
No, it makes total sense. Again, hard to argue this stuff, but these facts have not been out there. We've not heard that. The media doesn't cover that. So it's important that people know the facts. So when you hear this, I get family members that are like losing their minds over, this is going to be awful, this is going to be terrible. And you mentioned work requirements. If work requirements are part of this, then you work, then you get your health care there. That isn't losing health care. That's being gainfully employed and taking advantage of a benefit in the private sector, as it should be if you're able to work.
Yes, absolutely. And having, you know, 20 hours a week of volunteer work, if there's not jobs available in your area, makes sense. You know, do something so that the people that really, you know, so that the people that really need it can have it. And that's the thing is, they are really, really, really misrepresenting this to the American people. Because
you're being kind. You're being kind by saying misrepresented, because I think it's flat out lies. And I have a theory that it's, you know, all of the rhetoric directed to this bill, all the lies directed to this bill are less about their actual fear of these things happening. Because if you notice, they a lot of times will say, well, this could happen and that could happen. And they assume all these things. And I think the idea was, if this passes, the tax cuts are permanent. The tax, you know, overtime tax goes away. That used to be a constituency of theirs. They cared about the working guy, right? Where'd that go? The no tax on tips. again, used to be their thing. You know, the low-income hospitality worker. You know, well, again, if all that works and include other things like the additional tax savings for seniors to essentially offset what they pay on Social Security, do you think maybe their opposition isn't about their actual fear for what this impact is going to be and more about when it works, there'll be less Democrats in Congress?
Oh, I would agree with that. And I think what it is their pure hatred of President Trump and the Republicans and what they're doing, you know, what we are doing to try to move the country forward. And because from the day one, I mean, they were opposed to this. They were anti everything about it. And they there are so many good things in this bill. Like I said, you mentioned the tax cuts. Imagine if this hadn't passed, Minnesotans would see a 24% increase in their taxes. And that's average.
Now, I want that in every ad.
Not billionaires.
Yeah, I want that in every ad of every member of Congress up for re-election in 2026, because, you know, that and many other things can counter a lot of this. They voted for that massive tax hike. We had a conversation yesterday with North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong, and he said both on education and in Medicaid, if the federal government block granted the dollars out, no strings, just said you need to provide for everybody that's on Medicaid in your state, you need to provide the proper education for the state, you decide, and we're going to give you two-thirds, okay, this was his number, two-thirds of what dollars are now allocated under the federal programs, the strings, he would do everything they're doing and do it better. Think of that times 49 states.
And you know, those block grants make a lot of sense in many cases, because you know what? The closer you get to, you know, all politics is local, and maybe that doesn't apply exactly, but the closer you get to the people, things can be run better, because then there's far more. There can be far more transparency. There can be far more accountability. But, you know, when you look at things coming from the federal government, you look at the Department of Education, the federal Department of Education, and how crazy that was getting. USAID, how crazy that was getting. You know, it's further away. There's not the transparency. But when it's closer,
is that model? Because everything you just said, I agree with. And by the way, it saves money too. So again, you multiply that times 50 states, you have real savings. I mean, big time cost savings, and you start chipping away at the debt and the deficit. Is that in our future? I mean, with a Republican majority, could that happen?
You know, I've heard there's talk about more. There's more talk about doing some kind of education block grant than there is about the Medicaid, because there are some states. You know, we did in the bill. There is some. The states are going to have some skin in the game with Medicaid, because they're administering the program, and when they're administering it poorly, it costs a lot of money. So they're going to have some skin in the game to try to get some of that the waste, fraud, and abuse dealt with at the state level. But I have heard the discussion of block grants more on the education portion than the Medicaid portion.
Last thing I want to ask you today is, you know, there's a lot of platitudes, for lack of a better term, a lot of high-end stuff we're hearing about pieces, you know, the national energy emergency is an example or whatever, but we're not hearing about everything and certainly aren't a lot of details on these. Could you give me one example of someone that helped craft this bill of something you think is going to have the most impact that we're not really hearing about? Any details you can share?
You know, I will just say a couple of little higher level, but you know, you think about this, there's a large portion of the farm bill that was proposed that is in this bill. So we're looking at positive changes to the crop insurance program that's going to help our farmers. We're talking about $65.6 billion in farm programs that are, they range from, animal disease to more research to all of those things that are in this that we never hear about. And that's a great thing for our area. You know, we're talking about the border security. We're going to build that wall. We're increasing border security. We are getting more agents at our borders. That's a great thing. Those are things we are not hearing about that the American people really support. And then you just go into the tax portion of it. You know, you look at 199A, which is a small business tax deduction that was going to expire, and we extended it. And you know what? 55, just in my district, 55,000 small businesses will be able to continue to enjoy that deduction. 70,000 people in my district take the child tax credit. which would have expired. So, I mean, there's so much in this bill, and I know that the Democrats just want to focus and want to fearmonger on that Medicaid issue, but there's so much else in this bill that is going to help the American people, whether it be taxes, border security, or the farm bill.
Big reason Donald Trump won and Republicans have a majority is securing that border. So there's another tenet that'll be popular with the 2026 debate as well. And on the business side, tax side, that 100% deduction going to be a boom on many levels. Great details. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for all your hard work on the bill. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a good one. Bye now.
You as well.